the 28th, just before New Year, I just started a sermon, part one, When God Calls, Lessons from Abraham. I didn't want to do two parts. I just felt like I'd rather make it a bit shorter and talk about it on 2 weeks. And we literally crossed over the New Year during this time. I'm asking the question, or talking about the reality that God calls us. He calls us in a big way to come to Him and to receive salvation, the forgiveness of sins. He called Abraham the first time. But then He called Abraham with other specific calls along his life five more times. Moses, same thing. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, Peter five times, Paul seven times, and more. This is just what was recorded for us. And so what we understand from God is He's a God who actively brings us into His will with a call. He calls you by your name. And when we look at the life of Abraham, there's wonderful things for us to learn and to apply it to our own lives to help us follow the Lord in a wonderful way. That is the heart. I'm just recapping from last week, just reading three scriptures. By faith, it says in the New Testament, referring back to Abraham, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out. He obeyed, not knowing where he was going. In Genesis 12, God calls Abraham for the first time. And He says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred. I'm asking you to take a step beyond what you know. Go from your country, your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And then later on, God says, do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield. I'm your very great reward. Jeremiah 11:13. That Linda just quoted. God is His very great reward, the one who always went with Him. Now, remember the word I taught you last week. Wie kan onthou daai woord? Kan iemand onthou? Ivri. Sê gou vir die ou langs jou, Ivri. Ivri is literally the word Hebrew. And Abraham was called the first Ivri, Hebrew. And that word simply means one that crossed over or passed on or went beyond. Abraham was referred to as the first Hebrew because God said, I want to send you from a place you know on a wonderful adventure which you do not know. I will be your shield and your reward. Do not fear. And he advanced Ivri. And so the first thing we said last week is that God calls us to cross over into His reign. Are you still hearing His call? Are you still searching your heart for the unctions you are feeling, the dreams you are having, as you're reading scripture and things press up on your heart? Are you still aware that God is still calling and inviting you into His reign and that He gives Himself as your eternal reward? That's all I'm going to say on last week. But this week, I want to teach you a new word. You guys are going to become experts in Hebrews here. Just tell the person next to you, Hineni. Hineni. Okay, you just spoke Hebrew. Look at you guys, experts. And we're going to come back to that word. You're going to remember Ivri, and you're going to remember Hineni. I just want to pray for a second. Father, as we look into your word now for guidance in your word, that is always true. We also pray for the spirit of revelation to grant us specific guidance. Since the call on our lives is the same, since it is the call of God, but it's unique because the way it will unfold in each life will be different. And so, Holy Spirit, as the one that works the hearts and our lives, I pray that God's word will light will be a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path for each and everyone as it is required in their life right now. Amen. Let's read together. After these things, God tested Abraham. Say, tested. Okay. And said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. So on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Okay, so Moriah is a mountain range, and God would later indicate on which peak or which mountain he should take Isaac. So Abram rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place which God has told him. And on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place from afar. It's interesting how God calls him, not sure exactly where, but at one stage, see how God wills unfold. At one stage, he's like, oh, okay, there's the place the Lord is indicating. He sees it from afar before he walks into it. Okay. God's will often unfolds in our life. Okay. Revelation is progressive at times. We're going to talk about that just now. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together, and Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. It's hard just to read on. And it's almost like in this place we are family. And we have many families here. And when we read this, it falls onto our hearts in a heavy way. Isn't that true? Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, two times. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, or the Lord sees. It's the same translation. As to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided, or on the mount of the Lord, he shall see. Same wordplay there. This is not an expository sermon on the binding of Isaac. This is a sermon on when God calls, drawing from this event. So please be gracious with me that there's no way I can address all the wonderful things contained in this text. But I do want to come as a pastor for a moment and just talk about this event before we draw out of it revelation that's there for us. Who of you in this moment, as we read for a moment, was just gutted by the idea, thinking leading your own child up the mountain? Anyone here? Yeah? Who of you for a moment thought, we can be honest before the Lord. What a harsh thing to tell Abraham. I want to talk about it because it's almost like a white elephant. You don't want to walk past too quickly. How did Abraham actually believe that God wanted him to kill his son? He lifted the knife. Like, what was going on in his heart at that moment? Today, he would receive a diagnosis. was iets fout met jou. But I want to just hug around this text before we go on. I want to say, guys, that God is the God that always reveals himself for who he truly is. But he does that at stages of revelation. This is called progressive revelation. What it means is God was truly revealed to Adam and Eve and to Abraham, but Abraham only knew of God that which God has truly shown him. All right? But God would reveal himself more and more and more as Scripture goes on. And we are very privileged seeing the full canon of Scripture, knowing who God is. Abraham, it was revealed to him that God is a God who works miracles. His wife got pregnant at an old age, being barren. He knew that God is a God of judgment, Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew that God is a God of relationship. He walked and spoke with God. He didn't have the Ten Commandments. It wasn't like a secret scripture. It was given later through Moses. Oh, so now God's people knew the way God walked with Abraham. And now we've got the Ten Commandments. Then came the prophets. God is holy. We are to worship him. Wow, now we know more about worship and who God is. Then came the incarnation. God became flesh. And God's people, because revelation at that stage was still unfolding, didn't recognize that God, that Jesus was God. They crucified him. Then there was the resurrection. God is a God that forgave our sins on the cross. Jesus was rose. There's power even over death. That was only revealed 2,000 years after this. Then we see the apostolic expansion of a church, which is the story in Acts of how the Holy Spirit works through God's people. We know that as well. Abraham didn't know that about God. So one could very well believe, and this is what I know about God, and let me tell you something, there was a God called Molech. Ever heard about Molech? Pagan worship in Canaan, where Abraham was a man of an area, and children was sacrificed to Molech. And the saying went like this, if you give to Molech your greatest possession, he will always give you what you want. And here God is telling Abraham, go up the hill, sacrifice your son. And Abraham starts to walk. Although Hebrews says Abraham believed that God could resurrect his son again, for now he's walking. But here's the thing. It was on Mount Moriah where God actually distinguished himself from other gods. When Abraham lifted his hand, God said, stop. But 2,000 years later, it was God's own son on the same mountain group 2,000 years ago. And when the knife was lifted against Jesus, no one said stop. God would show himself different than Molech at that moment. The God who takes children would not have a chance against the God who would give life and then give his own son to be sacrificed in the stead. And then in Deuteronomy 12, after Abraham's life, look at what God says, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods, for they even burn their sons and their daughter in the fire to their gods. God would never do it, but he still tested Abraham in that way. Amen? Right. So just hugging the text for a moment. What do we learn from this? When God calls lessons from Abraham. After these things, God tested Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, if we can go to that next slide, slide number 11. I don't know if it's the same one there by you guys. Can we go on? No, let's go back. One back. Yes, yes, thank you. God said to him, Abraham, what did Abraham say? Here I am. He's on the hill with his son bound on the altar. He lifts the knife. Abraham, Abraham, the Lord called from heaven. What did Abraham say? Here I am. Guess the word. Hineni. What does this word mean? Before I tell you what it means, I want to take you to other places where this word is used. Abraham used it for the first time. He was the first Hebrew, the first man to say to God this line, "Here I am." If we go to the next slide, we jump into Isaiah, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Hineni, here I am." Moses, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am, Hineni," which is a term slaves used when they came before their masters, and it simply means, "Behold, I am here at your disposal." Abraham, Abraham, I am here at your disposal. I want you to take your son and go up. I didn't mean that. No, no. I'm here at your disposal. Take your son. Abraham doesn't talk back. There's no dialogue there. He can dialogue with God. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? What if there is so many men? What if there's so many men? He can dialogue. But at this moment, "Here I am," God speaks, and he wakes up early the next morning and he goes, "Here I am, Lord." What is the next step of obedience? Don't kill the son. When Mary gets the word from the angel that you will bear the Christ as a virgin birth, she speaks Aramaic, but guess what she says? Remember? "Let it be to me according to your will." It is the same idea of Hineni. I'm not going to be long this morning. When God calls, let your heart answer, "Here I am. What do you require of me?" Since reading and studying this, I've been praying one prayer the last week. "Here I am." If people would have heard me, they might have think I'm like talking to someone on a GPS, because I'm like, "Here I am. Here I am." Obviously, I know the weight behind it. But I want to encourage you this morning. He will call you to cross over to where he is. In the beginning, if you're new around here, he will call your name to confess your sins and trust on Jesus, which is a crossover from darkness to light. Then he's inviting you into the baptism waters to cross over from an old life to a new life. But that is only the start. Amen. Are you still hearing? But as you pray into your life, into your future, let your heart always say, "Here I am." Don't be afraid. He's with you. Let's go on. After these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love." Just making sure that he didn't think Ishmael, okay? "Take the one you love most and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering." Now, this will happen to each and every one of us on our journey of being called into the will of God. On your journey, part of your call is that God will journey with you to Mount Moriah. Now remember, we've learned through progressive revelation, God does say in Deuteronomy that he does not delight in child sacrifice. So don't worry. Okay. But he will ask us to take our idols with some wood and a knife and rope up the hill to Mount Moriah, where our hearts need to empty idols before the Lord. Okay. It is just the journey of each and every disciple. But do not be afraid of this process. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. It is a place of clarity. It's a place where my heart and its idols, its other loves, gets exposed. But it's a place of realignment. It's a place of putting God first, which we often need on our journey. Isn't that true? Now, let's distinguish between two types of idols. Now, having a son, Isaac was not sin in itself. Having a son is not a sin. It's a blessing. It's a promise. Having a job is not a sin. Some people come to faith and they believe it is. No, working is good. Having passions is not a sin. All right, loving to run, ride your bike. No, these are good things. But what we must watch out here is the order of loves in our heart. God needed to be number one. And Isaac, the blessing, the promise, not number one. Very important. And so sometimes idolatry is not loving and engaging in bad things. Sometimes it is. But sometimes it's taking good things and making it the peak of the heart. Amen. And so God will take us to Mount Moriah to talk about wonderful things, good things, and say, this thing is too... I want to tell you something about Isaac. Scripture doesn't say a lot about Isaac and Abraham being together after this moment. I'm not reading into the text what's not there. All I'm saying is after this moment, after God knew Isaac second, God first, Isaac stepped into his calling. You know, sometimes as parents, we can drag our children into our hearts, into our callings. They must. Because in one sense, we're holding them so high that we're smothering their callings out of them. After this moment, Isaac rose, did incredible things for God, became a man of his own call. Before this, it was Abraham. It was Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, Sarah. After this, there was another one, Isaac. He was released. You are my son, my laughter. That's what Isaac means. But God is my eternal laughter. Amen? But then there's other things on Mount Moriah. These things are sinful and they must die. And we see it in Galatians 3 verse 5. There's things on Mount Moriah that we lift the knife against and we stick it in. Sexual sin, pornography, love of murder, money, a heart full of jealousy. These are things we take, murmuring passions not from the Lord, raging against our spirits, making war to them. We bind. We call in the friends. Jy moet my soma help, so kom ons steek die ding, do it. So some things need to die on Mount Moriah in order for you to go on in strength. All right. Other things get reordered into the right place where God is number one. Amen? And the whole idea of leaving and cleaving is actually a wonderful idea of this reordering. When your children is young, they're part of you, but there's a time when they leave. And sometimes it's break our heart, but God is actually taking us through it. He's showing us good things are good and lovely, but don't make it ultimate. There's a time when they must be set free to go. And the same with other loves in our lives that are good. You cannot work in the same way when you are 80 than when you worked when you were 35. There's a time to work in one way, but don't make it too much. Don't make it your identity. Don't make it, don't think of yourself as Werner, the CEO. No, don't do that. You varies. That God has called to do the work of a CEO for a season. Time will come, the time will go. But the one who is with you, who called you and walks with you, will be your shield and your reward forever. He will not come and go. He will accompany you on your calling. Amen? Reorder those important loves in the right way. And kill those things who do not belong on your heart. Amen. On your Mount Moriah, eliminate idols and reorder loves. Almost done. Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? What a question. What a question. And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So both of them went together. It's amazing how Abraham, he knew God made him a promise, and Isaac was a son of promise. But then God asked him something that seemed like it was contradictory. But when God leads you, and there's a seeming contradiction, trust the Lord. Let faith cross the bridge. Amen? Or the gap. All right. He advanced in obedience, knowing I'm serving a God of miracles. He's told me this is a son of promise. He told me to walk up the mountain with a knife. I'm going to obey him because I've learned about him, that he's faithful. So I might not know how this play out, but he knows. And it played out just the right way. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my father, I see the wood, see the rope. Can there be another? Is it possible for there to be? Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Guess what? Hineni. Here I am, your servant. This is my request, but at your disposal. Not my will, but yours. When I see something that concerns me, but you see what I do not see, and it's better, please keep me on the track. Because you see what I do not see. Very important. And then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. He died. When Abraham lifted the knife, someone said, stop. But when it came to Jesus' moment, no one said, stop. And God would reveal his heart, not as a God who consumes children, but that would consume himself for us. What is the love by which you are loved this morning? It can't be fathomed. He loves you so much that he took you and I off the altar, off the cross where we belong, and put himself there in our stead. The question I'm asking us, if he calls, and when he calls, and when you hear, can he be trusted? That is the question. Because if you say, yes, he can, you will say, Hineni, here I am. Your servant at your disposal. What is the wonderful adventure you have for us, Lord? This last point is too long, too lopsided and everything, but I left it just like this because I wanted to read this out. When you remember what Jesus did on Mount Moriah 2,000 years after Isaac, worship God without breaks. Don't hold back. Love others without holding back and go without fear. What is he saying to you? Do not be afraid. I am your shield and your great reward. Amen. I want to just pray over us this morning. Would you mind standing up as we just present ourselves before the Lord? When God calls, let us be ready. I said this last week as well. Abraham was 79 years old when he was called. God is still calling you if you are alive. Your best days is not behind you. There might have been wonderful times. They were great, but he's not done with you. Don't disqualify yourself because of the perception you have of yourself, because Sarah had a perception of herself. And that's why she laughed when the word came that she would bear a child. But don't be like her. Have faith. He still wants to use you. Oh, but I've got cancer in my body. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Yeah, but I can't walk that well. That doesn't matter. Yeah, but I'm young. Doesn't matter. Holy Spirit, this morning, you are speaking to a people you love. Not with a sentimental words only love, but with a love that was displayed like none other. Greater love has no one seen that he who lay down his life for his friends. I pray, Lord, for the courage this morning that the hearts among us would say, here I am. To the left, Lord. To the right. On Mount Moriah, Lord, I was afraid to almost bring this thing before you for the fear that you'll take it in a way that will leave me empty. Trust him. Some of you are carrying heavy. It's nothing like carrying secret sin. It grinds us to powder. Trust the Lord. If you repent of your sin before the Lord with an upright heart, times of refreshing will stream into your life and you will experience the joy of the Lord again. Trust him. This morning, I just want to create for us a moment of response. And I'm not going to call anyone out, but I do want to ask if you just sense that you are pregnant with something, it's almost like the Lord is calling you aside. I'm not asking you if you've got the details. Remember, God's revelation that it's often progressive, but his call is clear for step 1, 2, and 3. If you sense there's a call from the Lord, big or small, won't you just raise your hands and say, I can relate with that. I want to respond to that this morning. Thank you for those hands. Don't be afraid. Just keep your hands up for a moment. Just sense the freedom of knowing that God sees. Just let it warm your heart. Don't be ashamed. If you also sense that the Lord is leading you, you can keep your hand up. Let's show the Lord with our bodies even this morning, responsiveness. If you also sense that God is leading you to Mount Moriah to reorder the loves in your life, just put your hand up and say, I can relate to that. I'm going to do that with the Lord. I'm going to pray it through. I'm going to wrestle it out with him. He is my number one. He will show me how to reorder the loves in my life, and he will help me take out the cancer on my spirit and kill it. And then lastly, if you just want to receive prayer, to not be afraid, but to boldly say, yes, I won't be afraid this year, also put up your hands. That's me. Father, as hands are pointed to the skies, we are saying that our help and our guidance will come only from you. Let this prophetic word bear fruit in our lives, not in this year only. This is not New Year resolutions. These are life decisions. Bless us, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill us. Say, fill me. Fill me. Say, fill me. And give me the power to do God's will. Won't you pray that for a moment? Give me the power to do God's will. And then lastly, Lord, I pray that your people will enjoy you like never before and experience you as the shield and the reward of their life. You can lower your hands. Everyone, we were going to baptize someone after the second service, but they let us know that they're unfortunately not here today. If there's anyone that wants to get baptized today, please just come and tell us, then we will put the baptism back on the map. If you've got a prayer request, you really feel that the Lord is doing something to you, but you need someone to pray you through, please come to the front. We will minister to you. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Please grab something to drink. And thank you for making some parking space.